The ugly shakeup for jobs in retail. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's word that sales lacked luster at the Kohl's department store chain, and it's grim at Macy's, with 10,000 people losing jobs. We already knew that 100 stores were closing for Macy's. Diane, you're seeing this throughout retail?
We are. It's not that people aren't spending. It's they're changing the way that they actually spend. More people this year actually shopped online than went into stores, and that's really causing logistical problems for retailers trying to meet where the consumer's coming. In fact, even Macy's saw a 16% increase in online sales. The problem is we all saw that shift to people getting packages, many of us late. Many of my packages showed up very late. They had a real challenge getting stuff delivered in time for the holiday.
All right, so jobs at UPS, FedEx, and maybe at Amazon warehouses, but not so much in the retail sector. Now, we will get a better sense of the overall jobs market tomorrow, the government's big employment report for December.
Yes, we're looking for about 175,000 jobs, with the weakness in retail shifting to warehousing, transportation. Leisure and hospitality also strong, but it's not that we're not spending. It's not that the labor market's not improving. It is, but these changes are difficult to go through. Wages will also pick up a bit in the month of December. What we're really going to see the big wage jump, though, is to watch for January. A whole litany of state and local governments have increased their minimum wages, and those kick in both January and July.
Diane Swank at DS Economics. Ahead of the official jobs report tomorrow, there's today's private sector count of American payrolls. The ADP survey this morning was weaker than expected. There were 150,000 more people with jobs, but the pace of hiring did slow. There's news this morning that agribusiness and biosciences giant Monsanto has returned to profit, with sales of seeds and genetically modified products up 32%, with noted strength in South America. Bayer of Germany is buying Monsanto, and among persistent challenges for the company and its customers, the changing climate. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra reports.
For farmers, climate change is an existential threat. For others, it's a business opportunity. Think about drought, for example.
Biotech companies have been trying to understand how to make corn plants and other plants more tolerant of conditions that have less rainfall.
Michael Gunderson teaches agricultural economics at Purdue University. He says Monsanto has been developing drought-resistant seeds. But ironically, Monsanto's at risk too. It grows its seeds on islands like Puerto Rico and Hawaii, places now seeing more rain and hurricanes. Chad Hart teaches economics at Iowa State University.
If that crop is harmed negatively by weather, that has a definite impact on their ability to sell product 6 months, 9 months down the road.
Hart says the planned $66 billion merger between Monsanto and the European company Bayer might help by giving Monsanto more places worldwide to grow its seeds. In New York, I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
It's not a poetic word, but it's a crucial one when it comes to your money. Fiduciary. In April, the Department of Labor's new fiduciary rule is supposed to go into effect. A key part of this, financial advisors recommending tax-protected retirement plans have to put the client's interests first. But the standard, 8 years in the making, may not survive. A top advisor to Donald Trump, Anthony Scaramucci of SkyBridge Capital, has promised to repeal the fiduciary rule, saying the rule, quote, could be the dumbest decision to come out of the U.S. government in the last 50 or 60 years. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell joined me from St. Paul. Hello, Chris.
Good morning, David.
Let's start with the basics of this rule. You and I have been covering this for years now. What does it say that retirement advisors have to do?
So if you think about most broker-dealers, stockbrokers, they're held to what's called the suitability standards. So you give retirement advice that's suitable for someone considering their age and their income. And if there are conflicts of interest, you disclose that conflict of interest. What the fiduciary standard is a higher standard. And what it says is that you must put the client's interest first. You have to eliminate those conflicts of interest, and you have to be transparent in your dealings.
I mean, still, you may think this is an obvious step, but there has been pushback from the industry, right?
There's been enormous pushback from the industry. So you have a lawsuit that's been filed by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the Financial Services Institute. There's a lot of talk with the new Trump administration that they'll repeal the fiduciary standard. And we don't really know what the Trump administration is going to do. But here's the thing, David. You know, if you think about your retirement savings and how hard you work for them, do you want an advisor to put your interests first or not. And I think it's a very simple answer for most people. Yeah, I want them to put my interests first.
I know, Chris, but the cynic in me knows that when I go to buy a car, the man or woman selling me the vehicle is not putting my interests first. I mean, it's part of the transaction.
We've been talking about this for a while, and so a lot of people have learned about this fiduciary standard. That used to be a word that was on the margins of the financial services industry. Now, it's at the heart of a whole discussion. And what I am noticing is that there are more and more financial services firms, like Charles Schwab came out with a new product, low-cost product, and you can get comprehensive financial planning from certified financial planners. They're held to the fiduciary standard, and you also get some basic index fund advice. So I think what people have learned is to embrace this fiduciary standard, and they don't like the suitability standard.
All right, but as a practical matter, what is a person to do if they're looking for a financial advisor?
All right, look, what I would do is I would sit down with that financial advisor and I would say, do you adhere to the fiduciary standard? If they say no, I say goodbye.
So, do you adhere to the fiduciary standard? Seven words, right? That's what you should ask.
Seven words, yes.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thank you.
Thanks, David.
There is confirmation that Sears has just sold its Craftsman tools biz to Stanley Black & Decker for about $900 million. No word yet if the famous lifetime guarantee will get grandfathered in. Sears also says it's closing 150 more stores. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.